But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. And as she wept, she stooped to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had lain, one at the head and one at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "Because they've taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." Saying this, she turned round and saw Jesus standing, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom do you seek?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." And you know the rest of the story. If you were to ask a child to tell you what Easter's all about, the child might well say, "Well, this man named Jesus was killed by other bad people. They laid him in a grave, thought he was dead, and 3 days later, he came out of the tomb alive again. Saw his shadow, and we had 6 more weeks of winter." Which seems apparently the case. Because it sort of reads like a fairy tale that would appeal to children. It happened once upon a time, this terrible thing. And then something unimaginable, magic happened. And he was alive again. And they all lived happily ever after, except they didn't. Most of them didn't. Most of them bore witness to their belief in Jesus by having their lives end early and violently. The Easter story, as good as it feels to imagine yourself in the garden, walking and talking with him. And that, of course, is the point. It doesn't mean that all strife and all pain come to an end forever and ever. It's not a feel-good story, it's a passion story. Passion as the sum of all feelings. We refer to this last week as Passion Week, Jesus' Passion, the Passion of the Christ. A notable movie a couple of years ago. And I think tying into that concept of his passion for us takes us from here back into what our life is, its fullness of all that it is, and leaves us with a message of hope. So the question I want to answer in a couple of different ways this morning is, what is Jesus passionate about? And what difference does that make to us? The Easter story in its fullness tells us initially, I think, that Jesus is passionate about justice. Because this is initially and through a story of atonement. Just because none of us, in the course of a week certainly, if not a day, managed to get through it without breaking every one of the Ten Commandments, doesn't mean the commandments are irrelevant or unimportant to Jesus or to us or certainly to God. Now maybe that went over your head a minute. None of us get through the week without breaking every one, even the big two. And you need to reread the Sermon on the Mount and Jesus' interpretation of what murder and adultery are to understand that that's the case. So somebody had to pay to satisfy the terms of God's justice. These rules were provided to create a safe and stable world, positive interrelationships one with another, and all of us screw them up. Not just a few of them either. So God decided instead of extracting the payment for that from each of us, which we couldn't bear, he would extract the payment for all of us from the only one who could bear it. His passion for us is a passion for justice. And once we understand that and the depth of it, I mean, what do you think he was doing for 3 days? He descended into hell that we created for him. I think if nothing else, it makes us more tolerant. More tolerant of the sad, sorry, shabbiness that we can see in others so easily and which hurts us maybe very directly. But it's really no more than looking in a mirror, for that sad, sorry, shabbiness is characteristic of us all. So instead of trying to debate whose package of sinfulness or sorriness or shabbiness is greater or less than yours, what's the point? Let's become more tolerant through our sense of commonality and move on. His passion for us produces at least the opportunity for tolerance. So also I think his passion for us is about compassion. The Easter story starts in its human form in Bethlehem. We have the doctrine of the atonement and God's justice. We have the doctrine of the incarnation and God's presence. The Lord High God, the creator of heaven and earth, showed up and was given birth. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, so that we might experience him, but also so that he would experience everything that we also experience, so that he would come to know that compassion made the passion worth it. Compassion is different than pity, I might point out. Pity stands aside and looks at someone else's sad, sorry life and says, ain't it awful? Compassion enters into someone else's perhaps sad, sorry life and says, I am inches away from this through random luck. There's nothing that can happen to any one of us that couldn't happen to any one of us. Anyone else's experience through the convergence of time and space could become our experience. And once we know that, his passion for us produces empathy. It could happen to me. It could. And it really doesn't matter what it is that you see in somebody else or what choices they've made that have led to what they're experiencing. We cannot predict the convergence of time and circumstance or how we would react given those eventualities. His passion for us, his compassion for us through his experiencing the life we share, produces empathy. And empathy and tolerance are really two sides of the same coin. And applying them to our own lives brings the joy of Easter more obviously a part of what we share. But on one more level, the passion of Easter is a passion for you and me individually. And here's where it begins to sound like a fairy tale at first blush, because Mary stood there weeping, and the subject of her sorrow stood beside her. She didn't get it. And it's only when he called her by name that she understood that this morning she was not alone. And she never would be again. It had been a terrible week. This one she had come to know, trust, deeply love, had been killed in a particularly brutal way, and now, from her point of view, they'd even taken away the body. She had no place to go, even to mourn her grief. And in the midst of the worst day of her life, the only one that can make a difference calls her by name. He goes on to say, "Don't hold me," which is really sort of tragic in a way, because who wouldn't want to just embrace in a way that, well, that we have to live without, but not without the promise. The next time you're in the midst of what feels like your worst day, early in the morning, late in the middle of the night, listen. Listen for your name. You may hear it in a form you don't expect, from a child. You may see it in a butterfly. You may experience it in a rainbow. But in the garden, in the dark, one-on-one, the Easter promise becomes real. He calls us by name. And we're never alone again. And at this point, his passion for you and for me individually leaves us with the only Easter present that makes a difference, and that is hope. Tolerance, empathy, and through it all, the experience of our sharing it all leaves us with hope. Because the Lord is risen. The Lord is risen indeed. Amen. And may the peace of Easter bring us joy. Amen.